So I'd like to, first of all, thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to bring this lesson today. And this is an opportunity to bring God's word to the congregation, and it's an opportunity for me to grow in my talents and in my service to the Lord's church and knowledge of God's word. So as I've always said, the teacher always learns the most. So when you're teaching a class, you learn the most because you're teaching. You have to be prepared. So I feel like I'll probably get the most out of this lesson. And I want to give a little bit of warning. This lesson is, as Rob mentioned, is on church attendance. It's on attendance. It's on attending the worship services. And because of the COVID pandemic, we've had something that's abnormal. But when this pandemic is over with, we need to get back to the way we were. And this lesson might be a little premature. I might have to give it again once the pandemic's over with. As a way of introducing this, my subject today, I'm going to start with a story about myself here. Actually, I got quite a bit on myself on this lesson, because like I said, it applies to me too. Many years ago, when we lived out in California, it was probably 20 years ago now, one night I had severe chest pains, and I thought I was having a heart attack. And so Janice and I went to the hospital with this chest pains and shortness of breath. As I said, these are all symptoms of a heart attack. So I was scared. And in the emergency room, they hooked me up to a heart monitor and took some blood. And these two tests are key ways to determine if that was indeed my problem. Later, they took me in for a chest x-ray and an EKG. And these tests finally determined what my real problem was. They told me that I had an infection in my chest muscles, in my chest wall. They gave me a prescription, an antibiotic, and sent me home. My heart was fine. It was just, I don't really understand it. They never really fully explained it to me, but it felt like a heart attack. But they just said it was an infection in the muscles in my chest wall. I've never heard of that, but anyways, that's what it was. It's amazing how a key test can reveal where and what our health problems really are. There are similar tests in the spiritual world that help determine the spiritual health and well-being of an individual. An example is how often you take time to pray and read God's word determines how healthy you are in your private relationship with Him. Another one would be the percentage of money you give to the Lord. This reveals your true extent of your love for Him and the church. There are many such tests, but the one that is the most basic and determines overall spiritual health and maturity and strength is church attendance. I'm going to insert right here that I've been a member of the Lord's church my whole life. I was, let's say, raised in the pews. My parents set a good example for me. They went to every service. We went to Bible classes. We went to both services on Sunday. We went Wednesday night. But to tell you the truth, that was about the extent of it. We didn't have any home Bible study. And I've got to confess that that's basically the way I raised my family. We didn't really have much home Bible study. I kind of depended upon the church to do that for me. And looking back, I see that that was an error. That, I've lost one of my children to the world. But thankfully, I have two daughters that are still pretty faithful, I would say. So so like I said, this lesson applies to me also. So we're going to talk about a question that everybody at one time or another has probably asked themselves. Sometimes we say it as a joke when we're talking to others. Sometimes we say it under our breath. let me see. Do I have to attend every worship service? That's the question we're going to ask today. Do I have to be there every time? And like I said, this lesson applies to me also, so I'm going to tell you a few of my experiences. When I was a young adult, just graduated high school. I was getting ready to go to the next state to go to school. Well, my mom called a local congregation to sick them on me. She called them and said, hey, my son's moving to your area. I want you to send somebody out there and make sure he's attending. Well, little did she know that, like I said, because of her example and her seed that she had planted in me, my parents, my whole life, I had already planned to seek out the church. But one day, of course, and now you also got to remember that I came from a more liberal church. I came from churches that had youth ministers and fellowship halls and things like that. And that's a long story, but that changed for me out in California. But their youth minister, he really technically wasn't, but he was kind of their unofficial youth minister, came knocking on my door one Saturday morning. And he was a single guy, and he said that my mother had called the church, and that she wanted to make sure that I came to church. And I told him, well, I was planning on coming anyways. So we went out to have a meal that day, and the next Sunday I came to that church. While I was in Indiana for 2 years, that's where I attended. And then Janice and I got married, and we moved up to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the first thing we did was open up the Yellow Pages and find the Churches of Christ in the area. I got a job in Grand Rapids, that's why I moved there. I didn't really have much of a choice. I assume there's Churches of Christ most everywhere I go, although one time I had a job offer in Ogden, Utah, and I definitely didn't want to move to Utah. Luckily, I had just taken a new job, so I just told the person I'm not interested. But that's kind of our habit. Janice and I have moved 8 times in our life, in our married life, and every time, the first thing I do is open up the Yellow Pages and find where the local Churches of Christ are. When we moved to California, I did that, and I made a list of there's only about 3 of them in the vicinity. And luckily, we went to the church that was in the town that we moved to, Ontario, Church of Christ, and it's a conservative congregation of the Lord's Church. And that's where I had the light turned on for me, that all this time I'd been worshiping in error. My family still worships in the liberal, what we call the liberal Churches of Christ. They have fellowship halls. In fact, where my brother's an elder, they have a fellowship hall bigger than this whole building. But you know, I saw the light out there. The preacher came to our house, I think I mentioned this before, and taught us. And I saw it. It's like a light bulb went off in my head. And ever since then, I've seeked out the conservative church, you know. So every time we've moved, and actually when we moved to Texas, it was kind of funny. We found a church. I was still in the liberal mode, and we found a church that was over 700 people. It was huge. It had a big auditorium in the round, and it was way high and sloped way down low. We had like 16 people on the Lord's Supper, I think. But come to find out, after I moved out to California, the actual church I should have went to was a little tiny church about a mile away. That was the Conservative Church of Christ. But they called them antis, that they were anti. So anyways, kind of a long story there, but I've always tried to attend all services everywhere I go. And when we did, after we were married and had children, I made it a point to tell my children that we get to go to church. I didn't say we have to go to church. I said we get to go to church. I didn't want them to think of it as a burden. It's not a burden to go to church. It's not a burden to study God's word. And so I would always tell them, we get to go to church. You know, I didn't say we have to go to church. And then another thing on me is that, I've seen this even in the near past, maybe on Wednesday night after I've worked all day, maybe it's been stressful at work, maybe I'm under the gun, and in church services, Wednesday night, I say to myself, man, I really don't want to go. I really don't feel like going. But I go. And every time I go, I come out glad that I went. Because I've opened up the Word of God, I've studied God's Word, I've done what God wants me to do, I've recharged my soul in the middle of the week. That's the purpose of Wednesday night, is to recharge our souls. We live in a busy world that tries to trample us underfoot. And the purpose of Wednesday night is to recharge our souls. So, like I said, I say to myself, man, I really don't want to go. I feel tired. I'd just rather stay home. But I go, and I gain from it. And so I would kind of encourage everybody else, too, because we're going back to Wednesday night services. So I would encourage everyone to participate in them. Let's see here. Oh, and the last thing here is that, you know, because of the COVID pandemic, we have changed the way we do our services. And so we came to the PM service, and it was nice to sleep in on Sunday morning, to tell you the truth. It felt like a Saturday. We'd sleep in on Saturday, we'd sleep in on Sunday morning, because I didn't have to get up so early, because I didn't have to be here at 9 o'clock for classes, you know? And so it felt good not to have to be here. And, you know, you kind of get in the habit. And so when Rob sent out his email saying that we were going to go back to Bible classes, I decided right there that, well, we need to get up early, come to Bible class, come to morning worship service, come to afternoon worship service, even though it's the same lesson. And I'm hoping that eventually Rob and James will change that to where it's separate sermons, because it's a lot of people will decide they've heard a sermon once and they don't need to come back. But now since Rob and the elders have decided that we're going to try to get back to some normalcy, it's time that we think about going back to our old habits. We've created new habits, so we need to go back to our old habits. Like I said, this might be a little premature, because with the number of cases here in Georgia and everything, we might have to go back to the way it was. I don't know. That's kind of a fluid thing right now. So, so this question, you know, do I have to go to every service? It's an important question, but if you ask that question, it's sort of like a student who asks the teacher, what's the bare minimum I have to do for this report? Do I have to do 3 pages? Do I have to do front and back? Do I have to single space it or double space it? You know, they want to do the bare minimum to get the report done. They want to do the least that they have to do. And it's also like, I'm going to kind of tell a little story of my son-in-law. He's all the time grabbing especially his daughter, and saying, do you love me? He's asking them all the time, do you love me? And it's almost like that. It's almost like ordering somebody to tell you that they love you. And, you know, like I said, maybe your spouse or your child. And my thought is, it's probably not going to be genuine after a while. She's just going to say it because he grabbed me and he says, do you love me? So asking that question is sort of like that. Whoops. So what I'm talking about, it speaks to our attitude. It speaks to our attitude of God, our attitude of the church. And I'd like to read Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day they were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to the number, day by day, those who were being saved. Now, this passage is not just a comment on how things were in the first century. It's an example for us to follow today. It's the goal that we should have here right now in our own congregation. We should have this attitude that we're all together. We're one body. We're a family. And um, We need to manage our lifestyles, our activities, our work, in order to move as closely as possible to this goal. Our homes, our jobs, our feelings, our recreation, all of these things cannot move us an inch closer to God without gathering with the saints. So today I want to give you three very good reasons why each Christian should be at every service of the church, if possible. So that's my next slide. First of all, being here every time pleases God. David the psalmist in Psalm 69:30 and 31 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull. So what this verse is telling us, even though it's the Old Testament, and we don't live under the Old Testament, we live under the New Testament. I'm going to give a New Testament example also. But we know that the Bible tells us that God desired obedience over ceremony. The ox and the bulls, the sacrifices, he wanted them, but he wanted their obedience even more. So God always desires that his people gather to worship him and that they do so often. So God wants us to worship him often. It's not something, I know a lot of Catholics, they go to church on Christmas and Easter, that's it. A lot of them might only go once a month. A lot of the denominations, they don't stress being at every service. We do. Here I'm going to read Isaiah 56:6-7. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. That's Isaiah 56:6-7. So God was very specific about the people keeping his worship, his true worship. It pleased him for those that kept it. In this passage, Isaiah says in verse 7, even those who are far away that have been brought in, even the Gentiles, even if they've came in, even foreigners, if they've came in and worship him, if they worship me, he says here, if they worship me with their hearts, with sincerity, if they come and do the right things and worship, even them I will accept their worship and sacrifice. So we see in Ephesians 5:17-21, so therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So Paul says here that God desires that we be involved in this type of activities when we are all together, rather than pursuing worldly pleasures. I've mentioned before that, and this was really prevalent out in California, but a lot of people were treating Sunday as a second Saturday. As I was going to church on Sunday morning, people would be out there washing their cars. They'd be out there mowing their yards. They'd be out there playing soccer. The soccer games were on Sunday a lot of times out there. And I could tell that they were using Sunday as just a second Saturday. And sometimes I felt like stopping and just asking them if they wanted to go to church with me. I never did. I probably should have. I probably wouldn't have been very successful, but that would have been an opportunity that I let pass by. Kind of lost my place here. Okay, you always have a choice of activities to do on Sunday and Wednesday evening, but worship will always be the choice that pleases the Lord. So that should be our goal, to please the Lord. Hebrews 13:15-16, the writer says the following, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And I'm going to divert, verse 17 is one that I'm going to do here a little bit later. So it pleases God to see us offering praise. He was pleased in the Old Testament when the Jews did it, and it is the same today. Some Christians do not realize or perhaps have even forgotten that pleasing God is what our lives as Christians is all about. To know and glorify God is essential if we are to find the true meaning of our lives. It's very difficult, or it's very easy to forget that why we're here. You know, like I said, most people don't even think about it. It's not in their nature to be a follower of God and Jesus, but it should be in our nature. It should be the way we live our lives. When we worship God, we know that we are doing the right thing. That's why it's so satisfying. And that's why I mentioned earlier that I was glad that I came when I didn't really want to. Because I've just done what was right in the sight of God and the thing that pleases God. And I was uplifted in my spirit in fellowship with my brethren and opening up God's word and learning more of his word. And when we worship God in spirit and truth, we have reached the core value of what our life is all about. You see, not coming to worship service requires an excuse of some kind. Some are valid, such as you're ill, or you have to work, or you're out of town on vacation, or something like that. But others are not so. And just a quick little point, whenever Janice and I are not here, wherever we go, we seek out the church to worship, even when we're on vacation. When her dad would come out, her dad is basically an atheist, but he would come out when we lived out in California, he'd spend a whole month with us. And it's the first time he came, we just told him Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night we go to church. You're welcome to come with us. Of course he didn't. But, you know, we got to put God first. God's a priority and should be a priority in our life. As far as excuses go, but being here every time never requires an excuse or an explanation. Okay? Think about that. Our conscience is absolutely clear because we are doing the right thing by being here. Most people want to please the ones they love. This is normal. This is nature. Being here for every worship service pleases God and demonstrates our love for him. The problem, however, is that we would rather please ourselves and make church attendance sometimes convenient, make it fun, make it easy, make it exciting, make it pleasing to ourselves. And I'm not talking about us in general. This is the world. You see this in the denominations. They have their bands and they have all their entertainment. I think a lot of times in the denominational world, people are going to church just for entertainment. They're not really there to worship. And sometimes we forget that the object of our worship is to please God, not ourselves. I'm reminded of this passage. Consider Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. This is Jesus speaking. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. I take that as a motivation to motivate me. I'm thinking, we've had sermons on this verse, but to me, that motivates me. Gets me going. It makes me realize that, you know, I'm here to serve God and serve the congregation here. And that's why when they asked me to be a deacon, I said yes, because I want to serve the church. And so this is a great motivating thing. We need to stretch ourselves in our service to Jesus and to the church. After all, look what he has done for us. Another reason, whoops, too fast. Oh, it's up there, isn't it? Being here every time strengthens our faith. When people have problems and you ask them what they need, many times before they ever mention food or finances, they will call out for greater faith. Maybe not personally, but we see this in the victims of 9/11 in New York City. They had all kinds of financial assistance afterwards. There was tons of money flooded in for the people who had lost loved ones or had lost businesses in the Twin Towers as they fell. But what they asked for was help with their faith in this time of crisis. And it seemed the whole nation was that way for a short while. A lot of people saw kind of people were coming to church again. But that only lasted about 3 months from what I saw. Even the President of the United States, he commands the most powerful military in all history, but asks the nation to pray for him so that his faith will be strong and that he will not falter in this difficult time. The apostles, who witnessed God's miracles and performed mighty deeds themselves, but when it came time to ask for something for themselves, they asked Jesus to increase their faith. Luke 17:5. They didn't ask for more power to do more and greater miracles, to do more fancy miracles or something like that. They didn't ask, for money. They asked to increase their faith. So we can always increase our faith. This kind of reminds me of another time out in Texas when I lived in Dallas. I worked with a guy who was a member of the church. He didn't worship where I did, but he worshiped in Tyler, Texas. He was an older man. He was getting ready to retire from work. He basically had retired from the Lord because he would go out to Tyler, Texas. He had a little mobile home out there. Every weekend he'd go out to Tyler, and I found out he didn't worship out there. He didn't go to church. He had basically retired. I didn't tell him this. I really should have. I should have confronted him. But he basically retired from God. He didn't go to church anymore. And I just found that, and I just now thought of that. So my mind's still thinking as I'm teaching here. Again, I've lost my spot. Okay, yeah. So faith is not only necessary for salvation, but it's also necessary to be able to manage our many ups and downs in life so that we can hang on to that salvation. Faith is such an important thing. You might ask, how do you acquire it? How do you maintain it? How do you increase it? How do you strengthen it? Paul says simply that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. All the activities of the world combined together. You can go mountain climbing, you can climb Mount Everest, you can race a car or a boat at 100, 150, 200 miles an hour. You can fly an airplane and all sorts of stunts. All these things are not going to increase your faith. They're not going to increase your faith in God. They do not add a single drop of faith. Hearing and sharing the word, singing praises, prayer, communion, giving and receiving. These things spark and maintain one's faith. The thing that you need to do in order to maintain your spiritual life is things such as resisting sin, preserving in suffering, persevering in suffering, to do good, bearing spiritual fruit. All of these things are based on the strength of your faith, and the strength of your faith is proportional to your exposure to God's word and God's people. There are no shortcuts in building one's faith. Again, on myself, because of the way I was raised, we didn't have any home Bible study at home. I didn't do it with my children. But I got to a point, I was probably about 35 years, so it's about 30 years ago, I decided that I wasn't being a good example to my children. And so I started getting more involved in church. I started getting more involved in the Bible study. A lot of times I just sat there like a bump on the log and not participated. So I started participating. I started reading the Bible more. I started making connections of the Bible is like a whole web of things that all connected. You got the journeys of Paul are in the different other books. And so I started putting all these things together, and it increased my faith and increased my love of God. It increased everything in my life and increased Janice. Janice has helped me, and I've helped her. And I think it helped my kids. So you can only increase your faith by studying God's word. All these things are based on the strength of your faith. Okay, I already read that. Okay, here's a... What does that say? Does anybody disagree? I mean, if you're not studying God's word, you're not attending with God's people, your faith is weak, and that equals a weak Christian. Strong faith and the fruit that comes from it is usually a result of much teaching, and most Christians, especially in this day and age, that only comes through faithful attendance and home Bible study, like I mentioned. We are all very busy in this life. Most husband and wife's work, I myself, even though I'm on salary, I still work overtime. I probably work as much overtime as I did out in California, and there I was hourly. But Janice gets mad sometimes because even though I'm working at home right now because of the COVID, but I might work, well, this last week I worked till midnight a couple times because I had a deadline to meet. And of course, in this type of discussion, someone will invariably ask the following question. And I don't know if this really applies to this congregation, but if I only come to Sunday morning worship and skip the rest, will I still go to heaven? Well, I don't know that. That's up to God. But your question does tell me that you have a heart problem, that you have an attitude problem, you have heart disease. Doing only what you have to do, this is a type of legalism. This attitude will ultimately lead you to fall from grace altogether because you're trying to get there with religious works and bare minimum religious works at that. This type of question reveals a lack of knowledge regarding the faith to begin with. The person needs to come to worship service not just to increase their attendance level. This person needs to come more often so that they will learn more about God's grace and be free from this, I'll just call it legalism. Because if a person keeps this type of attitude, no amount of church attendance will save them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if you don't come Sunday night and Wednesday night that you're going to go to hell. I'm just saying that if you think in terms of attendance as some kind of a brownie point system, you're being legalistic. And being legalistic is what endangers your soul. What I am saying is that we are saved by faith. We walk by faith. We can move mountains by faith. And we please God only by faith. And that faith is conceived and nourished every time you attend services. So why attend every time? Because your faith needs for you to be here in order to stay alive and healthy. For this congregation to stay alive and healthy, the church dies if we don't have faithful members. And also, if you don't have a spiritual base, the world will swallow you up whole. My third point is being here every time builds up the church. Your presence at all services is critical in the building up of the church because through regular attendance, you do several things for others. You proclaim Christ to each other and to the community, 1 Corinthians 11:26. You provide a godly example to others, Hebrews 10:26-29. So let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And that promise, of course, is that we will be resurrected from the dead, that we will be glorified by God and be in heaven with our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is Hebrews 25, or 10, 23 through 28. Now the problem here in this verse is that the Jewish Christians were weak in their faith in the first century, and they were being tempted to return to Judaism. Judaism had this massive temple. They had the priests in their priestly robes. They had the ceremonies. They had all the pomp and circumstances. And what did the first century church have? They were meeting from house to house. They were breaking bread one with another. They were being persecuted. And nothing that could compete physically with Judaism. So a lot of the Jewish Christians in the first century, the ones that were baptized in Acts 2:38, were looking back and longing for Judaism. So what happened? Their absence from the assembly contributed to their weak faith, and their weak faith was not sustaining them under pressure. In addition to this, their attendance was hurting others. This is why he encourages them not to abandon the assembly and exhorts them to give a good example and a word of encouragement to others as well. So your presence at all services is critical in the building up of the church, because through regular attendance, you do several things for others. I think I lost my spot. Nope. You proclaim Christ to each other and to the community, 1 Corinthians 11:26. You provide, I think I might have already went through this. Have you ever asked yourself what your absence from service on a regular basis says to children, or says to younger Christians, or to our regular visitors? We have lots of regular visitors. They need to see mature Christians take seriously their attendance at worship, so a high standard can be established for them to emulate. When we gather regularly, we contribute to the needs of the saints, 1 Corinthians 16:1-3. When we are here regularly, we contribute more than money. We contribute a solid example, an act of encouragement, a witness of hope and love for the church. You also demonstrate your support for the elders of this church, who are charged with leading and feeding the flock, Hebrews 13:17. And that says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Our elders have set these times for us together to worship, to fellowship, to serve, and to pray. These times are not arbitrary. They expect all the members to be here. I don't remember anyone ever saying that we'll meet on Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings if you feel like it. Submission to those who are over us in the Lord, as Hebrews says, also includes the cooperation of members attending at the times that the elders have set. We need to remember that regular church attendance by all of our members at all the services is the first step to church growth, and usually the first step to personal spiritual growth as well. I'm sure that, like I said, I was in that one church in Texas with 700 people. I mean, that was amazing. 700 people. And when we left to move to California, they were thinking about going to two services in the morning, because they were almost like Embry Hills. They were just overflowing. And I guess what we did at one time, because we built this auditorium here. This was before I got here. I'm sure that there would be great excitement if there were 500 people here meeting regularly in this congregation. But this will never happen, however, if we do not get the 80 or more that come here on a regular basis first. And as I mentioned in the beginning of my lesson, because of the pandemic, we've had to change our worship service, and a lot of people have decided not to come. And that's their own personal choice. They might be scared. Now, I know the media's done a good job of scaring everybody. I'm 64. I just turned 64 here recently. I'm in relatively good health. I don't have any underlying diseases. I don't have any of them, although I might be developing one. I'll maybe tell you more about that later. We got into new habits, maybe. Like I said, I come at night, so I didn't come in the morning, because, I figured that, well, one thing Rob asked me to, because we needed some leadership in the evening, and so he asked me to come in. I was going to come in the morning to start off, but then he asked me to come in the evening, so I stayed coming in the evening. And it's my responsibility to set up the worship service as far as who's going to serve what. So that was good for me to come in the afternoon. But, you know, I didn't feel the need to come in the morning because I was going to hear the sermon. It's going to be the same sermon, morning or night. So I didn't come in the morning for a long time, for about 6-7 months. I didn't see hardly any of you guys because you came in the morning, I came in the evening. Every now and then you might pop in the evening. But for a long time, I basically only saw half the church. And now that we're going back to two services and Bible class, some people are going to feel like I want to come to Bible class that came in the afternoon only. They're going to come now in the morning and maybe not come at night. So just a note to Rob, I'm hoping that eventually we'll go to two different sermons so that people will see the need to come to both services. Okay, so you cannot have church growth, spiritual or numerically, unless every single member is committed to being faithful at every service. When the most experienced member to the most recent convert accepts that the fact that putting the kingdom of heaven first in your life begins with a very humble and simple task of coming to church regularly, then the Lord will trust us with the kind of growth personally and corporately that we seek after. So in summary, we ask the question, do I have to attend every worship service? Do I have to be there every time? We establish three good reasons to attend every service. Being there every time pleases God, being there every time strengthens our faith, and being there every time builds up the church. I'm not going to offer the invitation, but I got something special here also. At this point in the lesson, we normally offer the invitation to those who want to confess Christ and be baptized, or to those who need prayers to come forward and be recognized. If this is your intention today, by all means, we would ask you to come forward when we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Today, however, I want to make two additional invitations. And this is where it gets a little sticky. Some brethren might tell me that this sermon has gone from preaching to meddling. But after observing what's happened during this pandemic, a lot of people have gotten into bad habits. And I think that we need to reestablish some good habits. Maybe it's time for a little meddling from the pulpit. I'm thankful that we're going to have a full-time preacher coming in March, April, May, somewhere around there. I'm hoping that by then the COVID will be done with and we can all get back to the way it was. And hopefully everybody will return that was worshiping here. Some have gotten into bad habits and they might not come back. I'm hoping that they will change their mind and they will come. So I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes here because obviously I'm kind of preaching to the choir, so to speak, because you guys are here. Actually, somehow we need to get this to the people who aren't coming because they're the ones that really need to hear it. This, like I said, this is sort of preaching to the choir. If you don't come to all the services regularly, please realize that pleasing God more fully, strengthening your faith, and making a real contribution to this church requires you to change your habits, change your mind. I encourage you not to be angry with me. You know, I don't normally chastise anybody, and I'm really not, like I said, everybody here, I'm pretty much sure that you come on a regular basis. So I'm glad that you're here this morning, and like I said, somehow I wish that I could get this to everybody who's not coming. But we need to make it our goal to be faithful to all services each week. Like I said, maybe I'm preaching this too soon. Maybe I need to preach it again when we get back to normal. Even if it means starting off slowly, by adding an additional time as you rearrange your schedule to accommodate this change. Of course, some have to work. Some are sick. But you know if your excuse is a valid one before the Lord. So make the necessary changes if you need to. My second invitation is this. If you do come regularly, even to all the weekly services, then look around and see what you can do to serve. See what you can do to encourage and help others. If you've established the first step in Christian development of regular attendance, take the second and third step by learning how to minister to others in the church. It could be as simple as making sure you greet warmly as many as you can at each service. Perhaps you could volunteer when we ask for volunteers to do something around the church. We have in the spring and the fall, we normally clean the building inside and out. And the more the merrier. It makes the task easier. But perhaps you could consider taking on a responsibility in our worship services. We have an opportunity to serve sheet in the back table as you're exiting the auditorium this morning. And if you're not serving the church, won't you take one home, look it over, and find a way that you can serve the Lord's church, and fill that out and return it to me. That's my job, is to make the assignment. So I would encourage all the men here this morning that are members to, it's a piece of paper on the back table. Just take it home, look it over, see where you can serve the Lord, serve the Lord's church, and fill that out and return it to me. In any event, I will ask you to test your spiritual health this morning and do what you need to do to maintain and or improve it. With this said, we will stand and sing the song of encouragement. So won't you come if you have a need? We are ready to assist you.